The collect for the Mass of St. Rita says, O God, who to St. Rita didst vouchsafe the great grace in very truth to love her enemies, and both in her heart and on her brow to bear the stigmata of thy passion, have regard, we beseech thee, to her merits and prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Louis, the King of France in the Middle Ages, thought it a great honor and privilege to have the crown of thorns, which was offered to him and his kingdom as a gift. So he walked out barefoot in all of his humility to meet the instrument of our Lord's sufferings, and then he carried it back to his kingdom in triumphant procession. Now, there have been many a saint who would have felt it a great honor to carry this crown in procession, but there have been many more saints who felt it an honor and a privilege to carry the crown of thorns on their very brow. I'm thinking of those stigmatists, such as little Rose Farron of our own country. But then still, there have been many other saints who have felt it an honor and a privilege to bear this crown of thorns, not only on their brow, but in their very heart. Today I'm thinking of St. Rita of Cassia, who always bore that crown of thorns, the crown of suffering, in her heart. Now, this sermon, I think, would apply to everybody, for everyone has sufferings, and everyone bears this crown of thorns. But I'm thinking today particularly of married people, where St. Rita was a very holy wife, and also widow as well. And how much she bore the cross, but yet how much you bear this crown of thorns too in your heart. Is it an honor, though? Do you regard it as an honor, a privilege, or simply something to be despised and gotten rid of just as soon as you possibly can? You bear this crown of thorns in just about every day of your life. Every trial, every setback, every burden and pain and care, every single worry, your heart is crowned with thorns. Perhaps you have children that have broken your heart in two. They have shattered it because they have first broken the commandments of God. Or maybe you have your heart pierced when they have torn your family in two by rebellious behavior. Or possibly you might even live until death do you part with a tyrant of a husband, or with a wife who is somewhat overbearing. And all that until death do you part. What trials you have in this life, what a crown of thorn you bear. But we should never lose courage, never lose hope, for our Lord promises us, just as he did the apostles in today's gospel, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, as well as has he given us Our Lady of Consolation, whose feast we observed just yesterday. Well, sometimes we do make crosses for ourselves. We do that whenever we sin. When you sin and break the commandments of God, you thus disturb the order which God has established. Once that order has been broken, there can be no peace, because peace is nothing but the tranquility of order, as the saints define it. What do I mean by that, though? How can you lose peace and make crosses for yourself by sin? Well, think of it this way. If there are any of you, I don't know, but if there are, who gamble the money away or spend it wastefully, the family money, well, what crosses you put on your whole family. It is hard to buy the food and pay the gas bills and all the rest of it, all because of the sin of imprudence and spending that money. Or whenever there's a sin of injustice in the world, we all suffer from it a little bit, don't we? That's because sin destroys order, and where there's no order, there is no peace. But often, All of you, I'm sure, can say this. Though you do your best to observe the commandments of God, to progress in the virtues that God wishes you to progress in, it seems that we have more crosses, and that crown of thorns squeezes our heart and pierces it all the more deeply. But don't lose courage. That's the way it should be. Saint Rita is a perfect example of this, and she herself, though she observed all the commandments of God and was just and pleasing to our Lord, she nevertheless had the worst sorts of family trials that you could ever imagine. Be encouraged by that, those of you who might have family problems of your own. Do you know the story of Saint Rita? Well, though she wanted to be a nun for all of her life as a child, she nonetheless obeyed her parents' request to marry. And so at the age of 12, yes, 12 years old, she went off and got married to a man named Ferdinand. Well, they were, these two, Rita and Ferdinand, were so unlike each other that it is incredible. She, on the one hand, was virtuous and charitable and truly a peacemaker. He, on the other hand, he was irreligious and given to cruelty and violence and anger and all the rest. He was a terrible man before God. And in the 18 years that Rita and Ferdinand were together in the married state, he made her life one of great suffering. Whenever he spoke to her, it was with harsh words. And when Rita spoke, he would fly into a passion of rage. And whatever she did, it only caused him to become all the more angry. He was far from fulfilling his duty as a husband, of being a support to the wife and a help to her salvation. But on the contrary, he could have hindered it very much. It is said, too, that he spent much of the family money foolishly in gambling and different games. But when he gave money to Rita for the household necessities, and she spent it, she was accused by him of being a spendthrift and everything else. He pierced her heart through with that crown of thorns by all of his insults, and even at times, it is said, by physical abuse. She had all the crosses that married life could possibly have, but yet she bore this crown of thorns that's mentioned in the collect. She bore it in her heart with great patience. Now I turn to the married couples here in the church. How do you treat your spouse? Or how do you react to an impatient or angry spouse? Rita is your model, the model of the married life. I ask you for just a moment to imagine that you are in the place of Saint Rita, bearing all of the unjust treatment from the one that you love most, or the one that you thought you loved most at one time on the day of your marriage. Would you have the courage and the fortitude of the Holy Ghost to push through all of these trials and the unjust treatment and persevere to the end until death do you part? Or do you constantly want to be separated, or even worse, divorce? Well, if you say the second, then what has become of the vows that you took before God in the tabernacle on the day of your marriage, the day of your wedding? What has become of them? Or imagine, as Saint Rita actually did, would you be able to remain silent or to speak edifying and consoling words to a spouse who flies into a rage of anger? Or do you always have to have the last word and win the day and the argument? Rita was silent. Could you do that in front of the raging passion of an angry husband or wife? And if not, then what has become of the duty which you accepted on your marriage day of being a support and a help to the salvation of your spouse. Saint Rita, she endured it all these crosses, the crown of thorns which married life gives, and for 18 long years she did that, until her husband was murdered. He was murdered by an enemy. He was stabbed to death. But do you think that her family crosses were lifted? No. The crown of thorns dug deeper and deeper into her heart. For at that very moment, her two sons resolved to get vengeance on the murderer of their father. And try as she did, Rita could not convince them to give up their evil plan. She prayed for them. She sacrificed for them. She used all the words that she could, and nothing worked. All was to no avail. It seemed that her sons were set in their ways of vengeance. And just when many of us would have despaired of the salvation of a child because he won't give up his ways, the saint of the impossible, as she is called, Saint Rita, committed all things to God, entrusted every single thing to him with complete abandonment, and begged God in his great mercy not to permit her sons to commit the sin. And then she received the cross of her life. For within the year, as an answer to her prayers, her two sons died. But they died converted, repented to Almighty God for all of their evil desires. But that was an answer to prayer. You see how God sometimes works in strange ways? His ways are not our ways at all, it seems. But he always answers our prayers, and he prevented the worst of all evils, mortal sin. The crown of thorns. Just as it was given to Saint Rita, both on her brow, as our Lord appeared to her one day and pierced her forehead with the crown of thorns, so also she wore it in her heart. And so it too is placed around our hearts sometimes, or let's face it, most of our life it seems to be piercing our heart and squeezing it and suffocating it until finally we feel like dying. Is it a privilege to bear this crown of thorns in your heart? Or is it something which you despise? Well, I give you these last thoughts. All of us can, but not all of us do, wear this crown of thorns, enduring all of the pains and sufferings of life with patience, as Rita did. We all can, but most of us don't. Do you want to bear it patiently? Then I leave you with four little thoughts about the cross and suffering. First, no one suffers well because he is a saint, but rather he becomes a saint because he has suffered well. How many times has someone encouraged you to bear your cross, and you might tell that person, well, I'm no saint. I just can't do it. I don't have the graces or the strength that the saints did. Well, the answer to that is quite simple. The saints didn't have the power on their own either. They became saints only because they bore their cross with patience. Second, the cross and suffering is a gift and a grace from Almighty God, and it is a gift which is reserved primarily for those whom our Lord loves the most. Look at all the lives of the saints. Look at the life of Our Lady and Saint Joseph, how much they suffered. The more they loved God, the more they suffered. And that was a sign of God's return of love. Third, the quote of Saint Therese, the little flower, she said on one occasion, "Confidence, it is the hand of Jesus that guides all things. Yes, even the crosses of our life, our Lord's hand is behind." You sometimes think of the injuries that people do to you, and you think, well, I hate so-and-so for the injury he has done or the harm he has caused me. It is not your enemy that hurt you. God's hand guides all things, and he will sometimes permit great evils for your good. The cross is for your good. Bear it with patience. Finally, this is the thought that should convince us all to bear our crosses with patience. That as long as we have sanctifying grace, nothing else in the world matters. If our family were to die and we were to lose our house and all of our money, so what? Do you have sanctifying grace? If so, you are the richest person in the world because you have sanctifying grace, which is the beginning of eternal glory. It is eternal glory begun here on earth. So I urge all of you today to look at all of your sufferings, that crown of thorns which pierces your heart through, and ask yourself, do I truly regard it as a privilege to wear this crown of thorns? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.